1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Bill Henry Show.
Indeed, come on down to the Ted's of Beverly Hills Summertime Barbecue. We've got our prime rib slow roasting all day Sunday. In fact, we slow cook it for three solid days. Come on down to Ted's.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
And so nothing happened to him, though.
Well, thank God nothing happened to my son, and the teacher was arrested. And that isn't the only time, Phil. This case with the Marine and the child, though, points up the need for us to keep tabs on our kids.
Ted Bell has joined us. This Marine, and you've had personal experience with this as a father, Ted, this Marine that took this child or induced this kid to travel to Europe, this 12-year-old girl, to travel to Europe, doesn't that bespeak, and it's always been my opinion, lacks discipline on the part of the parents?
Phil, what's difficult in this day and age, and believe me, I'm a very busy man, but there's nothing more important to me than my son. And this is tough to say, but I know Marcy will understand. My son, Tom, is more important than my wife. In other words, this is tough to say, Phil, but if the two of them were in a burning automobile, let's say, and God forbid it should ever happen, I'd go for him first.
That's the instinct any adult would have to save a child.
It really is. What's difficult, though, is for a young person, they want privacy, and I understand that. We're talking about the computer now.
Well, that's how this girl talked to this Marine, on the computer, and isn't this lax of the parents?
No.
Why don't you think it's lax?
Because the problem is you can't get into the kid's computer. I can't get into my son's computer. I can't get in to take a look at his email. I can't access his history because I don't know. I don't know what he's doing because I don't have his password. And this is something that every adult runs up against. In our home, my son has full access to my computer. He has access to his mother's laptop, but we don't have his password. And without that, you can't get into a kid's computer. And that's what adults are up against, I think. So when you say these parents are lax, I think you need to take a step back and walk a mile in their shoes.
Well, as my kids like to say, you walk a mile in a guy's shoes, you're 1 mile away with somebody else's shoes. I mean, see what...
Well, that's very funny.
No, but I mean, the point here is...
I got to remember that.
Well, the point here, why don't you ask him for his password? You know, you're talking about your son's computer, you can't get in, why don't you ask him for his password?
Well, I have, and then he gives me one that is fake. They're children, they're going to evade you, they're going to lie to you sometimes. He'll tell me, you know, that I'm not entering it properly. In other words, he evades me.
But you make him give it to you. You make him...
Well, what am I going to do, torture him? These are children, Phil.
Well, then you can threaten to take the computer away.
Look, you can't... No, you can't take a kid's computer away today because in this day and age, they need they have to do homework assignments, they have to do term papers, they need to do research. It is very tough. Look what happened to these parents in England. Their daughter runs off with this Marine. These poor people had no way of knowing because, again, they didn't have the password to her computer. Without it... You are really lost.
All right, I'm talking with Ted Bell, and Ted is a business owner, but he's a father, and we're talking about this girl that ran off with the Marine. How do you keep your kid from having these relationships online, you don't know nothing about it, accessing the kid's computer? There's obviously got to be a solution.
Phil, I really don't think, and this is the sad part, I don't think there's a solution until kids are taught that they have to have respect for their parents, and that extends to giving them their password. And I can tell you, Phil, otherwise, I can tell you what my father used to do. We had a woodshed out in the backyard. I realize it's old-fashioned, but let me tell you something. I'm Ted Bell, and one of the things that I've built my restaurant on is good old-fashioned quality. And my father had a woodshed out in the back, and if I messed up at all, he'd take me, get an old hickory switch, and take me out back and taught me right and wrong. And if it were up to me and not my wife, I would use good old corporal punishment on my son.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Talking to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills about accessing your child's computer, you have to have the password. I understand you have to have the password. Maybe I'm not as savvy about computers as you are.
Well, Phil, first of all, I've used computers since 1978 in my business. I have used all the latest computers, and I probably know them better than the average person. But one thing you can't get around, and I don't care if you're, you could be the biggest computer whiz going, unless you have the password to your child's computer, unless you can access that computer, forget it. You're not going to get in, and you're not going to find out what the kids are up to. And I can tell you this right now. When you take a look at this world that we're living in, Phil, when you look at some of the scum running around this country, when the police get a criminal back to the interrogation room, they don't fool around with them. They beat a confession out of them sometimes. Unfortunately, we can't do that with our kids. I wouldn't want to do that to my kid, but I got to find out what the password is.
All right, getting back to your son, this teacher took your son. How did this happen? Your son was on the computer. He was having an email relationship with a teacher.
All right. This is a guy that he was teaching. I forget what class it was, an English class. He was, and they were carrying on an email exchange. And you know how kids are. They get swept off their feet thinking it's the love of their life.
This was a male teacher?
That does not make my son gay. What it makes is...
I'm not saying your son's gay, but this was a male teacher?
Yes, he was.
All right.
But again, my son got swept off his feet. This guy took him to, or tried to get him to Vegas. The highway patrol caught them somewhere outside of the at the state line. My understanding is they took him to the substation in Blythe, and I'm told they messed him up pretty good. But this never would have happened if my son had just given me his password.
Well, until we get passwords out of our kids, we won't get into their computers.
That is exactly right. And you've got millions of American parents out there who are completely at a loss. They don't know how to do it.
I don't agree with you. I think people know how to get passwords.
Okay, if people know how to get passwords, how is it their kids are having relationships online with perverts? I didn't think about that one, did you?
Well, maybe they're lax parents.
Okay, so you're saying we've got a country full of bad parents, or do we have a country full of parents who are being kept out of their kids' computers?
We have a lot of parents out there.
Because if it's so easy to get a password, Phil, why do we have kids being carried off every day by every form of pervert, every imaginable form of predatory pervert, and you're telling me the parents are able to get the passwords of the kids' computers?
I honestly don't know. I tend to think it's the lax parenting. I don't think it's that they can't get into the computer and get a password.
Look at these people in England. Are you trying to tell me they're bad parents? Are you trying to tell me...
No, I would not say they're bad parents.
All right. So what are you saying? I'm telling you, Phil, until a kid says, here's my password, you can't get in. How do you physically get in if you don't have the password?
I don't know computers as well as you do. My computer, I don't have a password on it. I guess my kids could use it any time they wanted to.
Well, that's your stupidity, not mine.
I don't appreciate being called stupid.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean that, Phil. What I'm saying is kids are smarter than we are because they have passwords. This is the crux of the matter, and I say this to every parent out there. I'll give you another example. When Tommy was 8, we had given him his first laptop. He was, smart enough to use a computer. Now, he went missing about a month after. For one afternoon, he turns up in Westwood in some guy's apartment. Now, one of these...
Oh, you're kidding me.
No, I'm not. One of these sickies that prey on young boys sent a cab. He gave him the home address. We get over there. He's down to his underwear.
Ted, you're kidding me.
No, I am not. And there was no way at all for us to know about this unless we had the password, and we didn't have the password.
You're telling me your 8-year-old son immediately got onto a chat room and got into some guy's apartment out in West L.A., and he's down to his underwear?
That is exactly correct. We've taken him to counseling. We've had him speak to a minister. He calls the minister all kinds of vulgar names. He tells him to F this and F off. He says he's an MF and F, all of these filthy words. You have to get that password. That's the first thing you need.
1-800-449-8686. Larry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, you know, why does the kid have his own computer in the first place?
They need it for school. They need it for term papers. They need it for research.
My kid can do all that on my computer.
Well, not
he does not have his own password. He doesn't need his own password.
I have to. I don't know if you know who I am. My name's Ted Bell. I have a steakhouse. I've got a lot of business that I got to do on my computer. I can't have some kid on it. I mean, I got to have the computer at night. I'm doing a lot of personal business at home.
Okay, then why does the kid need his own password? What I'm saying is, why can't you monitor what the kid's doing? Why does he need internet to do homework?
Well, to do research.
That's what a library's for.
Okay, somebody's got a library, huh? You got to take him down to the library. You got to pick him up. A lot of the materials they have in libraries are outdated. You have to understand. What is your name, sir?
My name is Larry.
Okay, Larry. In this day and age, the library is the internet. Now, I can't, and another thing you have to understand, I'm prominent in my community. I don't know what you do. I'm sure you're a respected man in your community. My name is Ted Bell. I can't have a son of mine without a computer. He's going to be the laughing stock. People are going to look at me like I'm a freak.
Well, you know, maybe that's what you've got to do to get him.
You're saying your son.
Going to these sites.
I'm sorry, Larry. I just wanted to ask. You're saying that
Phil, I'm Ted Bell. I got a son at school with no computer. Is that what you guys are suggesting?
What Larry's suggesting is that you let him use your computer.
I can't have him on my computer. I'm doing business. Do you have children, sir?
Yes, I do.
All right. Are you able to get into their computer without the password?
What's that?
Are you able to get into their computer without knowing their password?
He doesn't have his own computer. He uses my computer. He needs to get in anything. He asked me,
I'm
into it.
I'm
if it's
Bell.
Something I don't want him into, I don't even get into it.
I understand that, but I'm Ted Bell.
Oh, okay. That makes it special. I see.
Well, I don't understand.
What
are you it sounds sarcastic what I'm trying to say.
Well, when you say you're Ted Bell, it doesn't, I don't think it means anything to this guy.
No, it doesn't. I mean, you're talking about disciplining your kids. Discipline them. Take the computer away from them. Send them to the library.
If it was up to me, I would use corporal punishment to get the password out of him. But my wife won't let me do it.
Well, in other words, you'd spank the kid until he gave up the password?
Hey, what the police do it all the time. The police do it all the time. I'm Ted Bell.
Saying you're as good as the police.
I'll tell you what, in a lot of ways, yes, I am.
Mm.
Well, whatever that means. All right, Larry, thank you.
You have to understand something. I can't have a kid of mine going to school and the kids go, you're Ted Bell's son, and yet you don't have your own computer. I become a laughingstock. The bar business drops. Our early bird specials begin to drop. We don't have near the movie business. I've got a lot of studio people that come in for late night drinks, and a lot of them just say, gonna come in.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell, who believes the whole problem with this girl going off to Europe with the Marine, the whole problem of children being victimized online with these predators. Parents do not have access to their computers because the kids just won't give them the password. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Do you know your kid's password? That's probably the thing that we ought to say now at the turn of the millennium. Instead of it's 10 o'clock, do you know where your kids are? Yeah, I know where they are. They're upstairs in their bedroom. The question is, do you know your kid's password? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
This portion of the Phil Henry Show brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Ted's of Beverly Hills. Steakhouse, come on down.
Go on down for our Ted's of Beverly Hills Beef Loin Plus. You get a little bit of the beef and a little bit more only at Ted's.
All right, Ted Bell is with us. Your son was abducted twice by predators online that he met on the internet.
Absolutely, Phil. And so,
you identify with what this family has done, has been going through in Britain.
Absolutely. There's nothing worse than not knowing where your child is. And the thing that I think bothers me the most about Tommy is I cannot get him to understand that his relationship with this man is potentially destructive. Now, he's known him since he was 8. He has...
Wait. Is this the guy that he went to the apartment of?
Yes.
Why is he still in touch with him?
I can't do anything about it. I can't.
Why can't you?
I don't have the password. Again, we get back to this. He is, he's always talking about this guy, Bernie, and what a great talker he is, and all the things that he, I said, who is this man? He says, this is the guy that I went to his apartment that time, Daddy, do you remember? I said, do you understand how dangerous that is, Tommy? He says, don't worry, I won't do it again. And I said, Tommy, I understand that, but you're still a young man.
How old is your son now?
He's 14.
And he has contact with this guy.
He tells me that he has no physical contact with him.
Well, you don't know that that's true or not.
My son's not going to lie.
But he won't give you his password, so what makes you think he's not going to lie? How do you know he's not had any physical contact with this guy?
He tells me that they went off camping 2 weeks ago, but he went with the Brochard family.
He went off camping 2 weeks ago with the Brochard family, so he says.
Phil, what you're trying to do is to... I understand. I know my son. All right? I just don't know his password. I mean, it sounds funny, but that's it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Still in contact with a guy that he went over to his apartment who was 8?
Phil, look, I'm Ted Bell. I'm a very respected businessman. I have a lot of contacts in this community. I can't afford to be made a laughingstock. And if I'm supposed to take a computer away from a boy so that when I walk into my restaurant, I've got one of the top presidents of a studio here in Hollywood saying, oh, your kid doesn't have a computer. No thanks. I think I'll go down the road to Morton's. I can't do that.
All right, here's James. James, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm just making a referment. I own a business. I'm here in Salt Lake.
Uh-huh.
I own a business.
Uh-huh.
I work 10, 12 hours a day, but yet I still take time out for my kids. But I watch them when they're on the computer. They have a certain amount of time. They're allowed to do their homework and do their research. And if they have problems, I'm there to help them.
What happened to trusting your kid?
I do trust my kid.
Well,
I let him do everything.
Like
I just sit in the background.
It doesn't sound like it.
And watch him.
What we try to do, James, in our house is give trust. And additionally, I have to trust my son because I'm Ted Bell, and what I do in my community is a very involved and daily and exhausting thing. I'm a prominent businessman. I'm a member of the chamber. I also operate a Beverly Hills Antique Automobile Association. My wife and I are donors at the music center. We have a lot going on. I'm Ted Bell.
Well, let me ask you this then: if you're that busy, how busy is your wife to watch your kid?
Well, my wife's been in Spain for 3 weeks, and she does travel, so this is what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Well, how often?
And if you're that prominent, and
you... But you know what?
And you have that... Let me finish, please.
Why not get the password? That's the key. That's
well,
the key, believe me.
The one thing is,
yeah?
First of all, if you give them a computer...
Because I'm Ted Bell.
I don't care who you are. You could be the President of the United States. You still wouldn't be able to get your kid's password.
Well, wait a minute. I can't not have a computer for my kid. I'm Ted Bell.
Like I said, I don't care. The thing is...
Did you say you live in the Los Angeles area or no?
No, I live in Salt Lake.
Oh, well, that... Okay.
Well, all right, but the point is, Ted, you can't keep saying your prominence in the L.A. community.
When my son says he's meeting his friends at Ben & Jerry's, I trust him that he's not going off to meet this Bernie.
Okay, then let me ask you this. Why haven't you got a court order to have that stopped?
I didn't know what was going on.
You've known about it since he was 8.
No, I knew that he went to the guy's apartment when he was 8.
Okay.
I just found out 3 weeks ago because some flowers came to the house.
Flowers?
Okay. Yeah.
From this Bernie guy?
Yeah.
And they were for your son?
Yes.
Why haven't you told the police to get them involved?
Look, I'm Ted Bell. What I need...
All right, listen, thank you very much, James. 1-800-449-8686. So you're Ted Bell. You don't call the cops. You take care of your own problems. Is that it? Kids online, why don't we get their passwords? Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills if your child has been abducted. Have a cocktail and await word from the police on what they found.
All right, Ted, I'm sorry. We had a little technical malfeasance there. But in any event, your sentiment is well made.
Tommy, the point I want to make about my son, Tommy, is he wanted to, and here's my moral dilemma. He wants to invite this guy, Bernie, to the restaurant for dinner. Now, the man's 43 years old. Can you imagine what is going to happen to my business if my 14-year-old son brings a 43-year-old man into my restaurant and people suddenly look at my son like he's a freak? And this is why I need his password, because if they're looking at my son like he's a freak, they look at me like I'm a freak. I'm the boy's father. And if he's a freak, I'm a freak. If he's a perv, I'm a perv. If he is gay, I'm gay. And I can't have that. I'm Ted Bell. That's why, and you can imagine what it, if it's that bad for me, what it's like for the Irish spirit.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell, who believes that the way to keep these kids safe is to get the password to get into their computer, but his son will not give him his password. Here's Karen. Karen, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello.
Hi.
Mr. Bell.
Yes, ma'am.
I would like to say that you sound like a very intelligent man, and you care very much about your name and yourself. You don't care about your son.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for giving me the word from the top of the mountain.
Well,
am I speaking with God? Or, ma'am, I love my son.
I love my son
very much, ma'am. And I take very good care of my son.
You just told all of your restaurant for people that come to visit you over the air that you care more about what they order to drink than you do about your son.
No, I didn't. I said, if your child has been abducted...
Give your computer away that the people are not going to come visit you in your restaurant because you're a bad father.
Well, that is... Hey,
that is bull.
I take care of my family. And if they want to live...
You do. Your
if
son
they want to live in a 10,000 square foot home...
a 44-year-old man for 6 years, and you take care of your family?
He won't give me the password.
You don't need the password.
Yes, you do.
You stand over him and you say, spot check. And you ask him to sign on and move aside.
You
check where he's been.
You say
and
what?
Then you ground him from the computer when he's been visiting with his boyfriend.
Wait a minute. You say spot check?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I guess that works in your house, ma'am. In my home, if I say spot check, my son gives me the middle finger. And he's,
well,
and
you know
he's
what?
Entitled
my
to do that.
My son has respect for me because I'm a parent.
Hey, wait a second. Are you trying to tell me my son doesn't respect me? I've asked to intrude on his privacy.
How many times has he called you an MF?
I have tried to intrude on his privacy. You have to understand he has every right to be angry.
Wait a second. I agree with this.
He doesn't have every right to tell his parent that.
Wait a minute, Karen. Are you trying to tell me that you walk in on your children and you say spot check and then they get out of the way and you get on
the
computer?
Number one,
I'm surprised your kids haven't called you an MF. I'm surprised.
My son never had a problem like this. Because he knew he could. I was going to be a parent, not a buddy.
Ma'am, has your son ever called you the C word?
Absolutely.
Ma'am, watch your language. We can't have that on the air.
Okay. Well, he ought to call you the C word for butting into his life.
Wait a minute.
Well, my son is not in the
Wait a minute.
Yours is, and your son has not had a parent.
How do you know? How do you know what your son's doing? Do you know whether your son's got a boyfriend out there someplace?
My son is 27 years old, been married for a year and a half.
And lives at home.
Has a beautiful family.
And lives at home. Enough said.
No, he does not.
Well, then what do you mean spot check?
He has not lived at home since he was 19 years old.
Wait. What do you mean spot check?
When he was...
What are you talking about?
I tell him, okay, spot check. You said you know computers.
Your son?
You know how to go in and see where they've been.
Your son you do that to, who's 27.
No.
Where do they live in the basement?
Your son's age.
Wait a minute, that was 8 years ago. They didn't have personal computers then.
Oh, yes, they did.
No, they did not.
Yes, they did. They
yes,
certainly
they did.
No, they did not have personal computers.
Okay.
I'm talking about personal
your
computers.
Your son was having an affair with a 40-whatever-year-old and was at his apartment
not
when
eight.
You found him.
Not
they
8 years
ago. They had a van, didn't they?
Not 8 years ago, 6 years ago. Look, Karen, get ready for the C word if you keep up with those spot checks. I don't know what you think.
All right.
You need to learn to be a parent, sir.
Excuse me. Oh, thank you very much, Jesus. Where do I get my ticket punched so I get into heaven?
It has nothing to do with religion,
thank
and you,
you
know
Karen.
It.
Karen,
it has to do with you more about
absolutely.
Your relationship with
get
your restaurant.
Get ready for your kid to flip you the middle finger and call you the C-U.
I don't want to hear it on the air. Do you understand me?
He's never done that.
Thank you very much,
He never
Karen.
Would do that because he respects me as
right.
a parent.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Here's Chris. Chris, go ahead.
Ted.
Yes, ma'am.
Ted, hey, I have a question for you real quick. What is your main top point for really coming on the show? What are you expecting to gain by talking to people?
What I'd really like to do, Chris, is I want to alert parents of the dangers that are on the Internet for their kids.
Okay.
And to find out how we can get together as parents and how we can bond together as a community and get passwords and find out how to get into these computers.
Okay.
So that we are looking at their email, we see all the perverts that they're talking to, all these sick and twisted degenerates that our kids, for some reason, have fascination with.
Okay.
Now, I was young once, and I know what it's like to be excited, but I don't understand why a little girl living in England would want to hang around with some disgusting 31-year-old Marine, you know, who only wants
to
put his hands all over her.
I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why right now.
The reason why I came on the show was to try and get parents alerted to this. And the number one thing we need to do is get that password. You get that, you got the key to the domain.
Okay, I understand
that. Years ago,
would you please, Mr. Bell, let her talk?
Listen, Ted, I have a quick point that I want you to hear.
Time for a commercial?
I want you to hear, okay? First of all, I have got to...
She's still on the air?
Yes, she's talking to you.
What?
I'm talking to you.
Go ahead, ma'am.
I have to agree with Karen on some point, okay? I don't want you to get offended. I want you to hear me.
We need 10 pounds of potatoes.
Okay.
We're also going to need 2 bottles of liquor.
Ted, this guy is, like, ordering, and he's on national television radio right now.
Mr. Bell?
I'm sorry, Phil. I had an emergency here. Go ahead.
Okay, listen, Ted, I just got to lend you this for, like, one quick second, okay? Karen has some good points, and I just want you to take this and absorb this.
Yeah, and the rash is still there, too.
Okay. He's being very rude, but I'll say this to the rest of the world.
Are you, Mr. Bell, are you there, sir?
I'm sorry, Phil. I've got an emergency. We have got a baked potato festival that's coming up on Sunday.
He's doing this for advertisement.
Yeah, you know, you're plugging your restaurant a lot.
I am not.
Yeah,
what I'm trying to...
Yes.
Did you have something you wanted to say, ma'am? I wish you'd spit it out, because I do have a lot...
Yeah, this is what I got to say.
I got a lot to do.
You are very wrapped up in yourself, and you care more about yourself than you do your son. And if you did care about your son, that computer would be gone.
Right.
And you know what? You can sit here and talk about being the laughing stock all day long, but you've already made yourself the laughing stock to Hollywood or whoever it is that you are. I've never heard of you before.
I'm Ted Bell.
The way you're coming across over the radio is very non-nurturing. Your son is a victim, and he's going to continue to be a victim if you continue to be non-feeling and as wrapped up in yourself as you are.
Is the caller there?
I'm here.
Chris, thank you. I heard you, Chris, and everybody heard you.
I didn't. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I bet you didn't. 1-800-449-8686. Pedro, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, Phil. Great show. Listen.
Thank you.
All I have to say is, you know, this person, all he's doing, Ted, is just making excuses, you know, for his lack of involvement. He's making excuses because he wants to blind himself to the responsibility that he hasn't faced yet as a parent, you know?
Wait a minute. Are you talking about me?
Wait a minute. I'm talking about you, Ted.
Are you a father? Are you a father, sir?
You bet I am.
Okay. Do you know your kid's password?
First of all, my son is 1 year old.
It doesn't matter. Do you know his password?
He's a year old. He doesn't have a computer.
Can you believe this guy?
I hate to clue you in, but this is America. Kids are on computers very young around here. You're going to get shocked.
1 year. Let me tell you one thing.
How are you going to get the computer password when he is old enough?
When he's old enough, I'll tell you what I will do. I'll tell him, give me the password. And you know what? If he lied to me, he better not, because whatever will happen afterwards will be a lot worse. If he gives me a password and it doesn't work, number one, he's
going
to sit in front of me and type it in. He lied to me. Whatever discipline he had coming just got a lot worse.
But I
guarantee you one thing. I get the password. I will be in charge of my house,
Pedro,
not my 14-year-old.
I want to say this with delicacy. Are you from South America?
I'm actually from Europe.
All right. Europe, I don't know about, but in South America, the police beat things out of people. We don't do that in America.
When
you're coming on a little bit like you're a member of the Argentinian police here, you know, I will get it. These children today...
Wait a second. We're talking about a father and a son. You give me that password. I speak directly to my kids all the time.
Look, we're not in Chile where you take a rubber hose to a guy's feet. This is the United States of America. And individuals have rights here.
Not kids. Kids have no rights. Not in the house they don't. You get the password from them.
You know what, actually? You are responsible for the actions of this child until he's 18 years of age.
Are you trying to tell me that? So now I introduced him to this 43-year-old perv?
You bet I'm going to be in control of that household.
Right.
You basically let this 14-year-old...
And by the way, Phil, he just called...
...your 10,000 square foot home, which you're so proud of.
Sir, I have never called you a name. You have just called me an asshole.
When did I say that?
You just said it.
He said household.
No, you said asshole.
He said household. In charge of the household.
Well, I heard something else.
Ted, you're hearing what you want to hear. I tell you what, why don't you go to your... What's your kid doing right now?
Let me top all of this off. I'm a manager in the IT industry. I don't need a password. I would only get a password from him to establish ground rules and respect and authority in the house.
I'm not going to burn holes in my son's arms with cigarettes to get a password.
I guarantee you that. There is no computer I cannot get in.
Sir, I'm not going to burn holes in my son's arms with cigarettes to get a password. Thank you.
Are you still there, Phil?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did I ever say anything
No, you spoke eloquently, sir, and you spoke like a responsible father. I appreciate your call.
All right, Phil. Thank you. Great job. Keep it up.
Thank you. I'm not going to burn holes in my son's arms. Let me tell you what, Ted, I will. Only your son. 1-800-449, because your kid needs smacking around, man. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. One 800 449 8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
The voice of Ted Bell was performed by me. And those guys that called in were unpaid and unprompted. Nice people, but a little clueless. All right, this is the Phil Henry Show. Our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. And our website, www.philhenryshow.com. Yesterday, we had an interesting call from a young man by the name of R.C. Collins, a cadet at a military academy. He said he thought some of those GIs over in Iraq are chickening out. They look a little weak. They're crying on TV. And a lady called up to ask what kind of crack and ecstasy and drugs was he on.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I don't know what that comment I've done with that broom, but he should have shoved it somewhere. Not in his mouth. Furthermore, what kind of weed is he smoking?
He must be getting weed
from somewhere, or ecstasy or something.
I don't take any of that.
Because he talks like a damn stupid jerk. That's just what he is.
I don't know how
you can put a fool like that on the air. I just cannot understand.
He's in a military academy, man.
I think he's a jerk. He is nothing but a two-faced low-down. Get him out of that
academy. I've got the courage to go over to Iraq.
He's not to do anything to anybody.
All right, well, let's let R.C. respond. Go ahead.
He is
a
joke.
Ma'am, I doubt very seriously if any of our GIs could take a broom handle the way I did and smile.
Oh, God. You should have had that stuck up your butt. That's what you should have had instead of in your mouth.
Can you give directions
on
how to do
you know
that?
You know what? You better go and get yourself a place to stay all by yourself, because you are not worth it. You are not an American.
Ma'am,
you must be some kind of a Nazi.
And I want to go over to Iraq.
You are. You're nothing but a low-bred-faced little bastard.
What?
I have to tell you that.
Ma'am,
because our boys are the best.
You used a dirty word.
I am 78 years old.
No,
and all my children were in this military. And thank God I got them home. And God bless America.
I'm an American. I'm serving my country right now.
A fool like you to be on the air.
Let me tell you a little bit about being a soldier. I'm prepared to put a wooden stake through Saddam Hussein's heart.
It's a disgrace that you're on the air.
I want to take this in.
It's a disgrace that you're on the air.
Well, ma'am, I'll fight for you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen.
Mr. Henry, she's not allowing me to say anything.
You are. Well, all right, you are a disgrace to the Americans.
Go ahead and respond, R.C.
I'm going to take Saddam Hussein's head out on a stake. Then
you'll see. All right. All right, you're gonna do.
You can thank me
you
for any time for
do.
Your freedom, by the way.
You are, you're a low-faced, you call yourself an American.
What do you mean low-faced? You I don't get that.
You are not an American, dear boy. You are not.
You want to see my
you
birth certificate
not.
And everything.
You are not. You better go work for your father. You better do something, dig holes or something.
Get a piece of fat and slide off.
Go oh, really? Nee, you better tell your mother and father that wherever the hell they got you from.
Father's sending
wherever
me.
Wherever they got you from.
Father's sending
it's,
for
it's
me.
It's a disgrace.
All right, okay,
you
thank
are
you.
A disgrace.
You better calm down, Granny. You're going to pop something.
That's right.
All right.
You
all
right. are a, he is a disgrace.
All right, I'm sorry about that, Marie. Everybody's
he is
entitled.
A disgrace.
Everybody's at...
You want to say that one more
he's
time?
He's a disgrace.
Thank you. That's clear for the drop.
He is
yeah,
a
okay.
disgrace.
All right, Marie. Thank you
he's
very much.
He's a disgrace to the Americans. He should be... He should... Oh, God, please. Get me off.
Get her off. Who's she talking to?
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
You know, when R.C. said, get a piece of fat and slide off... I got that line originally from a Laurel and Hardy movie I was watching, and that must mean something to that generation, because she was just shocked when he said that. What does that mean? Just, nobody else knows it. Like, anybody over 60, oh, get a piece of fat and slide off. You, why you do? Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And coming up, we are going to be talking with Harvey Weierman, an attorney at law, about yesterday's tragedy in Santa Monica, California, where a man ran into a crowd of people with his car, an elderly man killed 9 people. Our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. Our souvenir shop at our website is a place you ought to visit if you're a Phil Henry fan or you know somebody in the family, you want to get somebody a birthday present or an anniversary present. I think a very nice thing to give your wife for her anniversary would be a Citizens Auxiliary Police hat. Or if you're, let's just say your husband's having a big bash or something, get him some of those Ted's of Beverly Hills shot glasses and coasters. Yeah. We also have the Citizens Auxiliary Police travel mugs, our coffee and latte mugs, T-shirts, all kinds of stuff. Go to the souvenir shop, pick up our best of CD as well. All the proceeds go to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and throwaway kids in Hollywood, California. It's the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty. Now, here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Tragedy yesterday in the city of Los Angeles. I have an attorney on with me, Harvey Weierman, who is himself retired. You do a lot of pro bono work now, Harvey?
Yes, I do, Phil, for a variety of causes.
Can you answer me straight, if you want, about elderly drivers, senior citizens, should they have their licenses taken away? I don't want to refer directly to what happened yesterday, but obviously accidents involving senior citizens are sometimes horribly fatal. One in Miami several years ago that was profiled on 60 Minutes.
Well, before we start recommending all kinds of nonsense, let's be clear about something. We are at a standoff, and there's no solution. Some problems in life have no solution, and believe me, you live to be as old as I am and you understand these things. And the problem of elderly drivers losing control of their car, yes, is a problem. But the solutions that they are proposing are not going to happen, I can tell you that much.
Well, some people are proposing that you simply take the keys away from...
Well, yeah, I heard that one, and no one's going to take my keys away from me, and no one's going to take the keys away from the people that I, people that I know. Secondly, the other one I heard was, which one was it, Phil?
Giving mandatory skill tests by the time you're 65. In other words, elderly people should have their driving skills retested, perhaps every time their license comes up for renewal.
All right, well, you got a problem there, because that's a little something called profiling. And we got into a world of garbage over that after the Iraq situation. We profiled the Arabs, and they got their underwear in a twist. And you profile African-American men, and that's unconstitutional. And you're sure as, but you can bet your sweet, you know, rear end that you're not going to profile elderly people. Yes, some of us drive bad. But let me tell you who else drives bad. Drug addicts and women with kids. And I don't think there's a more dangerous individual on the road. And I don't think life and limb, especially of children, is more in danger than when a woman with a bunch of kids in the back seat is driving down a street in a Suburban or in a SUV. I can guarantee you that death waits around every corner when that is happening. So for people to say that the elderly...
But we're talking about the elderly now because it's in the news. It seems to be a problem. I mean, look...
It's not a problem for the elderly, Phil. It's a problem for who? Who's it a problem for?
It's a problem for society. It's if we have people whose skills have diminished to the point where they can no longer drive, we need to take their license away from them.
But it's not going to happen. You're not taking my license away from me.
Why can't I take, and I'm not saying away from you, but why can we not judge someone cannot drive?
Let me explain something to you and to your listeners. I fought for this country in World War II in the North Pacific. I've paid taxes. I've built a business. I've employed people. And if you want to take my license to drive away from me, and you want to take my car keys away from me, friend, you better have a big fat refund check, because I want a full value on my tax dollar, and I'm not getting it.
We're talking with, and I don't mean this personally towards you, Mr. Wireman.
No, I understand it, but I am responding to you the way the average senior citizen might respond. And by the way, I agree with them.
You do? All right. 1-800-449-8686 is the number. We're talking with attorney Harvey Wireman, you who believes that you can't take away the driver's license of elderly people because it's profiling. You can't give them tests to test their skills, because that's profiling, and you can't take their car keys away from them. Now, here's a question, and I think it's a fair one. The man, an individual who loses control of his car and kills people should at least go to jail, or at least see some jail time. Do you not agree?
Well, first of all, Phil, they're not going to put this guy in jail, if that's what you're talking about. And they shouldn't put him in jail. Because
why shouldn't they?
Because he's 86 years old, and what are they going to do? They'll never put a guy in jail. And one of the things you need to understand is that we have lived our lives a long time. We drive down the street, we see things that make us angry, and we react. I'm not saying that's what happened to this guy yesterday, but many times I have driven down the street and seen things that make me angry. Sidewalk cafes where people are sitting on their rear ends while the rest of us are out working. That makes me angry. And a lot of things. And you'd be surprised how ready I am to just slam my foot down on the accelerator and tear right into those people. And I can tell you...
But you were talking about murdering people?
I'm simply saying that sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, it's just a senior citizen blowing off some steam. And there's nothing wrong with it.
And when people die, there's something wrong with it.
I agree. All right, yes, in the extreme case. I'll give you an example. 3 years ago, I was coming down Coldwater Canyon. I saw one of these the restaurants with a sidewalk cafe, and I felt I owed it to myself to live a little. And I floored it, and I jumped the curb. And it wasn't that I did it on purpose, but I just felt the need to. I jumped the curb, and my front bumper caught the edge of two tables, and I must have dragged two tables and about four or five chairs 75 yards. And here's the best part.
So you damaged property,
Well, you know, but here's the best part. Do you think they're going to put me in jail? No. Did they arrest me? No. I told them the accelerator stuck, and the cop gave me one of those stupid looks that cops give you, and they let me go.
Can I ask you a question, Mr. And we're talking about Harvey Weirman, about elderly drivers and how we deal with them. He does not believe they should have their licenses taken away. He doesn't believe they should have their car keys taken away. He doesn't believe they should be mandatorily tested because that's a profiling. And he doesn't believe, and also you think sometimes people who are driving too fast, elderly people are driving too fast, are getting out some anger or something?
Yes, try being old in this society and tell me you wouldn't want to floor it sometimes.
But what happened yesterday was a tragedy.
It's a tragedy, but there's no solution.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I personally think the solution might be mandatory skill testing.
It's unconstitutional.
All right, but let me just get out what I think. Mandatory skill testing. And our audience may have some solutions of their own.
Well, then the problem is when you get into the audience, asking the audience questions, these are not lawyers. The people that you're out there listening to you are not judges. They're just people, and they don't know a lot about the law. And one of the dangers of doing one of these kinds of shows, Mr. Henry, is I got to listen to a lot of people call your show and sound, and I want to be kind, but the word is that comes to mind is stupid.
Well, you're going to insult my callers before they call in, okay?
Well, I don't mean to insult them, but it's really not a thing you do a call-in show about. You can only talk to legal authorities about this. What can be done?
I'm asking my audience their opinion on what to do with elderly drivers who may not be safe to drive.
Okay, and so what? I'm supposed to learn something from that? Again, what I'm saying is...
Well, Mr. Weirman, whether you like it or not, you're going to be talking to them in a few minutes, okay?
That's fine. I'll talk to them, but they don't know what they're talking about. I'm telling you right now, there's no solution to the elderly driver problem. Society is going to have to bite down hard on a figurative piece of rubber, grab a hold of the bedpost, and just grimace.
Whatever that means. So in other words, we are going to have to take it and take it and like it.
That's right, because you're not taking my license away from me. It'll be, as we used to say, the nuns will go ice skating with the devil on that day. So that's not going to happen.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Very outspoken attorney, Harvey Weirman. He's a senior advocate, and he says that whether senior citizens are bad drivers, good drivers, or anything in between doesn't matter because no one's taking their license away from them. He said, quote, the nuns will go ice skating with the devil, end quote, the day you take my driver's license away from me, and that giving mandatory skill tests is unconstitutional. He also said that there are days when senior citizens might floor it just because they're angry at having been mistreated in their waning years. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Controlled by the International Jewish Media Conspiracy.
Show is back. 1-800-449-86.
We're back with Harvey Weirman, attorney at law. We're talking about the tragedy of elderly drivers and the deaths of people because drivers have diminished skills. And
well, Phil, if I could jump in, you talk about diminished skills. You're talking about taking away our driver's licenses and taking away our keys. And it isn't going to happen, and there's a lot of ways why it isn't going to happen. Number one, you take my keys away from me, and you're a daughter of mine or a son of mine, and suddenly, financially, you're not going to be so well off. I cut my daughter a check every month, and if she tries to take my car keys away from me, she's going to be cut off from a big source of funding. So today's kids rely on their grandparents and parents more than ever before. That's number one. And number two, the backlash that you will suffer from the elderly driver, if you try to take our keys or our driver's licenses away from us, could get ugly.
Well, what do you mean backlash? What do you?
Well, I'm talking about a few more accelerators get stuck to the floorboard. I mean, I'm not.
Well, what is that? Is that a threat?
I'm not threatening. I'm just saying the anger among seniors will increase.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Todd. Go ahead, Todd. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
How you doing?
Yes, sir.
Hey, listen, I'm listening to your show for the first time, and I'm currently facing a similar situation to where my mother, who is in her 70s, has lost a lot of her mobile skills as far as the ability to turn her head and the ability to hear and react to the drop.
4-9-8-6-8-6. Here is Sergio. Go ahead, Sergio.
Yeah, you know, my concern is this guy telling who's qualified or not to give an opinion when he's telling us that he's deliberately running down sidewalk cafe just because he's
visited a bunch of people or something.
And then tell
I didn't hurt. I didn't kill anybody. I didn't kill anybody.
No, but you're deliberately endangering people. You could have.
Well, sir, I didn't. And if you live to be my, I fought for this country. I did everything for it. And what do I get? I got somebody wanting to take my driver's license away from me. The best way to solve this problem is for people on the road to begin to give drivers, elderly drivers, more respect. And I think when you start to give us, for instance, people feel empowered to flip off elderly drivers and treat them badly. The thing to do is to give them more respect and to begin to give us a little bit wider berth in the road. Otherwise, you're going to have some problems. And I think that that's the best thing. You got any more phone calls?
No, I don't have any more phone calls. And probably it's because you insulted.
No, the reason why is they took my admonition to heart. These people don't know what they're talking about. They're not going to call up and talk to an attorney. I know my stuff. And you're going to get some of these imbeciles. I don't mean to say imbeciles.
Look, it's a talk show, so people have the right to. But I think you're insulting my callers scared them off.
Well, if I scared them off, good. Because the average person that I listen to on a lot of these talk shows, and I listen to this guy, I don't even remember his name, but he talks to some of the dumbest people you ever heard in your life, some of the stupidest people. And you want me to come on and talk to them now? Mr. Henry,
I was hoping that we'd have an exchange with people about the elderly driver situation and hear their solutions.
There is no solution. You either leave us alone, you try to take a look at how many people get killed from an elderly driver. You got more women in cars putting on makeup, murdering human beings, leaving the road strewn with bodies, pools, lakes filled with blood as the result of some broad putting on pantyhose. And you're talking about elderly drivers? Just leave us alone, or there could be more. I don't want.
You know, you're threatening and you're saying there could be more deaths, there could be more this, there could be more that. I find your manner to be the manner of a man who's saying, hey, there's going to be a lot more of this, so you just better watch your step.
Well, don't make an elderly driver angry. Give them your parking spot. Let them drive in the passing lane. Say thank you for the fact that you're actually alive in this country. And do not, under any circumstances, make the situation worse.
All right, Harvey Wireman, attorney at law, and he says there's no solution to the problem, so just forget it. 1-800-449-8686. And by saying there's no solution to the problem, what he is saying is you just simply have to take it. Every now and again, an old person is going to get their foot stuck to the floorboard, and they're going to take somebody out. Our website address, www.philhenryshow.com. That's www.philhenryshow.com. Get our Citizens Auxiliary Police travel mug along with our Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt and, of course, the official Phil Henry Show gear as well. Just log on to our website anytime and pick up on that. We are with Harvey Wireman, attorney at law, and we'll take another phone call here. Our number 1-800-449-8686. Cheryl, go ahead.
Well, I understand that we're talking to an attorney, and I don't have a very good connection, but I just want him to understand that as an American citizen, I feel like it's a privilege to drive in this country, not a right.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I'm saying that I believe that in this country it's a privilege to drive, not our right. And just like everyone else, people should be qualified to drive.
Why do you hold old people to a different standard?
Oh, I don't believe it should be an age thing. I think that if you are too young, you don't get to drive because you don't have the qualifications.
If you're going to take the license away from me, you should take it away from every kid. Okay, if old people shouldn't drive, kids shouldn't drive, because they butcher up more human beings per capita than any other age group. So what? You know, an old guy gets caught and, you know, his foot got stuck. I don't know what happened.
Well, my 90-year-old grandmother was hit by a 16-year-old kid and put in the hospital.
That's what I'm talking about.
And so I understand it, but now she's given up her car because her reflexes aren't like they should be.
No, that's wrong. You know, she should still drive.
Well, she shouldn't drive.
Why should she still drive? Her reflexes.
She should drive because she knows that she's a danger.
Wait a minute. Did she kill someone?
No, sir. She gave up her privilege because she was no longer able to drive.
Your grandmother should be driving. She hasn't killed anybody. She hasn't injured anybody. But she's been beaten up emotionally by individuals to the point where she feels like she shouldn't drive. You should give her those keys. And have you got a sports car or anything? Because it's a great thing for an old person to be able to jump into a sports car, especially a convertible, and go.
Well,
but
yes,
if you start taking she's only going to get violent if you take the keys away from her.
What do you mean violent?
I hope that I can drive till I'm 90.
She's only going to want to hurt people if she can't drive.
All right,
well,
Cheryl.
Not everybody's violent, sir.
Well, your grandmother will turn violent if she doesn't get her keys back. And you watch how many fruit stands get knocked over then.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, because your grandmother doesn't drive doesn't mean... Thank you very much, Cheryl. She's going to get violent?
I'm telling you right now, if some of this talk that I'm hearing continues about fruit stands or about getting keys away from people, let me tell you what. Things can happen very quickly that cannot be stopped.
Well, I don't like the sound of that at all. And I would say that there's nothing wrong with, even though I'm not a lawyer, there's nothing...
Yeah, that's exactly right, Mr. Andrew. You're not a lawyer. Please remember that.
But I still don't see how there's anything illegal about retesting somebody's skills. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. FUBAR. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
The voice of Harvey Weierman performed by me. Those were real callers, even though they were unprompted, unpaid. They didn't know Harvey was fake, but they were real. And let me tell you about this elderly driver yesterday in Santa Monica who lost control of his car, plowed into a bunch of people, and killed some of them. This is a non-story. And when I say it's a non-story, I don't mean that people are not paying attention to it, but it really is one that has been going on for a long time, and people still don't really have opinions about it, because it affects two groups of people that we actually... And look at this. I'm looking at the TV screen right now. It says 10th victim, the elderly man. There's two groups of people that nobody wants to mess with. People that get run over by cars and the old people that drive them. People are afraid to say the obvious, which is that the older you are, you actually, in this instance, you get preferential treatment. And you know exactly what I'm talking about, man. If the guy had been black and 18, they would have dragged him out of that car and beaten him to death. If he'd been some Hispanic delivery boy, they would have dragged him out of the car and beaten him to death. If it had been a mother with kids in the car, they damn sure would have her in a jail cell right now, probably drug testing her, drug testing the kids, drug testing the dog, anybody they found in the car, anything they found in the car. If it had been me, they would have beat the crap out of me. If it had been Mark Newman, they would have tried to beat the crap out of him, but he would have beaten them all up before he ran. If it had been Janice, they'd deport her ass to Canada. But it's an elderly man who makes the mistake of hitting his accelerator because he thinks it's the brake, and Fox News and CNN and the media once again, not to be outdone by their boring predictability, just as predictable, they put up 10th victim. Now, I understand the man lived a good life. I understand that. A lot of people live good lives, done great things. Still against the law. This guy is not going to go to jail, and he probably should. As a matter of fact, if I were the judge, I would put the man in jail. I don't know what else you'd do. He's got to go behind bars. That's where he belongs. Oh, but you see, people will say, well, he's an elderly man, Phil, and don't you have any compassion? Oh, I get it. Now all of a sudden we got compassion, see. Guy's a junkie. A guy is medicating himself because he needs heroin. Well, there ain't no compassion for him. He's just a stinking junkie. Throw him in a jail cell, right? Some guy's depressed and tosses a hand grenade into a tent. Well, but this was an accident. Well, it's still against the law. He still belongs in a jail cell, because I don't know what else you do with an individual like this. You don't keep him outside, do you? Of course you don't. What, are you going to take his license away from him? Why is it that it's just an accident when it's an 86-year-old guy, but if it was me, they wouldn't believe me. If I said my accelerator's stuck, the guy would look at me and laugh until he was sick. Yeah, right, pal. Hands on the hood, spread them. Let me get a flashlight up there and see what you're hiding, Henry, because we don't believe you. But this guy's 86. He lived a good life. Old people can't die. 10th victim? What do you mean, 10th victim? Who's writing the headlines over there? Shepard, are you doing your own writing now? Because it sounds like you wrote that. 10th victim. Victim of what? The victim of how crappy his life was? I understand the man was a successful salesman. He grew up in the Los Angeles area. He's got family. He's got a wife. He's got a good life. What was he the victim of? Is he the victim of a cruel state which actually gave him a driver's license? The bastards. They gave him a driver's license. And, of course, the 75-plus people, they don't want to be skill tested. They were up against that. They don't dig that, man. There might be 9 people alive today if this guy had been skill tested. But the senior citizen groups, no, they don't want that. That's unconstitutional. That's profiling. Now do you see why we ought to profile? Now do you get it? That's why. If you're old, you may suck as a driver. Unconstitutional? Profiling? Hey, if you're an Arab, you may be hiding a bomb up your rear end, man. Ready to light the fuse and say sayonara, baby. As a whole bus stop goes up. Sorry, in profiling, but there's a possibility. Now, what do we do? We're going to let the guy go, huh? We're going to get some more senior groups crying crocodile tears about this guy? We should let him go, right? 9 people are off the face of the earth, and they got all the personal injury lawyers, and who's going to get sued? See, you don't want to hurt this guy. You're not going to sue him, so they're going to sue the state. They're going to sue the manufacturer of the car. They're going to sue the guy that paved the road. They're going to sue the people for having their fruit stands out on the street in the first place. Because after all, if they hadn't been out there, they wouldn't have gotten hit by this guy, right? Right. They'll sue the guy that made the accelerator, because maybe there is something to this accelerator brake thing. They'll sue God for making the guy, for letting him live after World War II. I don't know what they'll sue him for, but they'll sue this guy a walk. And why? Because he's a victim. He's the 10th victim. Didn't you hear about it? It's all over the news. He's a victim. Cat ain't victimized by nothing. This guy's got the greatest life I've ever seen. He's white. White man with a family. Salesman. Good life. Middle class. Retired. Making money. Featured on NPR as, some personality profile they were doing on National Public Radio. He and his wife got a great thing. You put the guy in jail. It's the only option that we've been left by these people that say, well, they got to be able to keep their licenses and we shouldn't happen to give them driver's tests. Okay, fine. Throw him in jail like everybody else. You don't want to be profiled. His ass goes into jail. He goes into jail. That's where they put, what's his face after that, in that movie Going in Style? What's his name? George Burns? He went to jail after he robbed the bank, and he didn't kill anybody. So there. You want the bottom line on that one? You put that poor old guy in jail so he can sit and think about just what it means in this world when you kill somebody, whether it's an accident or not. Because guaranteed, if that guy is a black kid, he gets the crap beat out of him, and what's left of him gets thrown in jail. If he's some Mexican who's coming from a day labor job, he gets the crap beat out of him, and then what's left of him gets thrown in jail. If he's some Chinese who's emptying the rice buckets out behind the Chinese restaurant, he gets thrown in jail after he gets the crap beat out of him. If he's a 15-year-old kid coming back from, college, who is he's studying to be an astrophysicist, he gets the crap kicked out of him and he's thrown into jail. But he's an 86-year-old guy, he's a sweetheart, he never robbed a piggy bank in his life, and everybody just loves him, and he's going to walk. And then nobody gives any driving tests, and nobody says boo. Well, you better start giving some driving tests to these people, otherwise you're going to have more dead people and more 86-year-old guys being 10th victims. Boy, that's a hot one. Whoever at Fox wrote that one, man, give that guy the Emmy. Because I bet you people are watching that and going, yes. Yes, he is. He's the victim. He's the 10th victim. There were 9, including a baby, but he's the 10th victim. What is he, a retard? He's a man with his own brain. He's an intelligent man. He's a salesman. He had a business. He raised a family. He gives at the local clinic. He gives blood. He pees into a jar once a month or whatever he does. Now, all of a sudden, he's some kind of a retard who's a 10th victim on a cane. And he's a poor old guy, huh? Yeah, I know. There's a lot of poor old guys. My old man was a poor old guy. He was a poor old guy sitting in a nut house down at the Delamo Psychiatric Center when he died at the age of 72. My old man did all kinds of crap in his life. One thing he never did is drive his car and kill 8 people. But he wound up in a jail of his own making. He wound up in a nut house. He was a poor old guy, too. Everybody wanted to feel sorry for him. My mother, she's a poor old lady. She's going to be 90 next month. My mom, 90. She's down there. Anybody feeling sorry for her? Hey, I got a great one for you. You want to feel sorry for my mother? Why don't you guys start sending me checks so that I can, it offsets my payment to support my mother once a month? Because my wife and I are supporting my mother right now. She's 90 years of age. We have her in a beautiful retirement home. And it costs a lot of money. And she's a victim. Why don't you cats start sending me some checks? But no, this cat runs over 9 people. And now he's just some poor old cat on a walker. Look, I'm sorry, sir. God love you. And I know you got a great family and all this other baloney. You're going to go to jail. Probably for the rest of your life, which hopefully isn't that long, and you'll just sit in a cell and you can tell all the young kids about your days out there selling on the road flapjacks or spatula handles, whatever the hell you did, man. Because there's no other solution. Our society has no solution. And personally, I'm not blaming society. I'm not blaming the government. I'm not blaming the cat that made the street, the cat that made the car, the people that made the laws, the guy that made the driver's license. I ain't suing the DMV, dig? We don't have any answers to the questions right now, so here it is. Get ready for it. Put your lips around this one. The old guy goes to jail for the rest of his days. For the rest of his days, because that's the solution. We have it built into the system, and as far as I'm concerned, right now it's the best possible solution. Unless you want to start giving him counseling on how to drive a car. So that the next time he doesn't know where the brake is, he doesn't kill 15 people or 20 people. Do I hate the guy? No, I don't hate him. It's clear-eyed, dry-eyed judgment. You're guilty. You're going to jail. Goodbye. Maybe some conjugal visits, dude, if you want those. I mean, I don't know what it's like right now in your life, but hey, you know, get a little visitation going on. You know, we'll give you an easy job. You sweep the floors, scrub out the toilets, whatever the hell it is. Give you the minimum security job up there, Lompoc, or wherever that other place is where they send all those... if you're going to send one of those scumbags who robs from the people over there to Lompoc, can't we send this guy over there? Actually, I don't know what's worse, some guy that drives into a crowd of people and kills 9 of them, or a dude that's traveling around the country on our dime illegally. Anyway, there's the answer, okay? So all the talk shows you're going to be hearing, that you heard yesterday, that you're going to hear today, and that you're going to hear tomorrow about elderly drivers, it's all a bunch of hot air, because I just gave you the answer in 15 minutes. Hot air. Put them in jail. Next. And welcome to the world, baby. 1-800-449-8686. God, I hate life. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. Or you may forget it if you'd like to. But it's a nice place to go. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, next hour in 10 minutes, we'll accept phone calls here. 1-800-449-8686 on this weird, meaningless radio show where we do just funny voices and, you know, what's the point? I'm through. I ever get old, I'm going to blow my brains out. Yes, I will. Why shouldn't I? Look at me. Oh, don't give me all of this baloney. Look, you get to be old. You can't see. You can't crap. You're crapping into diapers. You can't see the TV set. You can't get up in the morning without help. You can't go to bed at night without help. You can't drive your car. You're walking around on a cane. You're hunched over, and you know, and there people are cutting your food for you. Man, if I got a revolver, I'll blow my brains out. Why not? What's wrong with that? Why can't I choose the time and place that I die? And I ain't talking about Kevorkian. You can send Kevorkian down there with the nuns and the devil for all I care. I'm talking about taking good old Smith and Wesson, and that's the end of that. God ain't going to punish me. Unless he's the most sadistic piece of crap God that ever walked. You mean he's going to sit up there and go, boy, this is the good part. This is where Hendry craps into a diaper and shuffles around. And he's having a blast up there, huh? If that's the case, then you know what? I'll go ahead and blow my brains out, and I'll take my chances with a big man, and I'll tell him before he sends me on down to the hot place, yeah, well, you know what, man? You set it up for me to fail. You set it up for me to fail. You turd. All that religious stuff, too. Where's Jesus? Well, he doesn't exist. Yeah, that's what I thought. Boot around here? No, he's bullcrap, too. Yeah, okay. Thanks a whole bunch. Well, you bought into it. I'm just up here having some kicks. Yeah, having kicks? Oh, you're having kicks? Oh, good. God's having some kicks. Well, I'm glad you're having a good time, man. I'm down there. I can't pee. I can't crap. I got a tube coming out of my you-know-what. They're catheterizing me. I'm, you know, 80 million years old, and they tell me it's a sin if I kill myself. Well, That's, in other words, I'll give God a lecture. Okay, so getting back to this poor old guy. Oh, man. And then some brain surgeon that works for AARP. You know what that is? The Association of American Retired People. Or the American Association of Retired Persons. She says, and I quote, and I'm quoting, we need to develop means to determine who can drive safely and who can't. People should be able to drive as long as they can drive safely and effectively. Are you kidding? You got to be kidding. For anybody to be the director of state affairs for AARP to say something that's simple-minded and dull, which is it's like stating the obvious. Yeah, it's called a driver's test. Ever heard of it? You got to be putting me on because of you guys. They aren't testing old people in the state of California. Now, New Hampshire seems to have their act together. When you hit 70, you got to have a medical certificate and you got to have some testing done. But you see, it's profiling. Everybody's afraid of this profiling thing. If you are part of a group that is likely to do certain things, I'm sorry. People got to take a look at you. Look, I'm a member of white men over the age of 45, the most likely group to have sex with their own daughters. And I'm not offended by that. If they want to come into my home and check it out, it's fine. It just so happens that white guys over the age of 45 are the most likely to have incest. Oh, I didn't know that, did you? Maybe I'm making it up. Maybe I'm not. All right, here is Tammy. Hi, Tammy.
Hello, yes?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Good. Well, I just got back. I was in the, my husband's in the service.
You just got back, huh?
From Japan.
Wow.
And they actually have where if an elderly person does anything, your fault.
If an elderly person...
They can ram you face first and, you know, and paralyze you, but it's your fault.
You know, so, the Asian countries have a real, they have this real, you know, stratification of the elderly, yeah.
And they will not take their licenses away. I've seen some elderly people do things, you cringe, but that's how it was. But they also did have, like, a little thing that they put in their car, a little thing that was, like, it was a gray and orange or yellow thing that they stuck in their car that said it's an elderly person. I swear to God, every time I saw that thing, I got as far away from that person as I could.
Oh, on the car it would say you're driving behind an elderly person?
Yeah, it was like
You know what? I got nothing against it. Hey, if that was the law, that's fine with me. Whatever the law is fine with me. But the law right now says they got to go to jail, so go to jail. What are we sitting around discussing?
That's what I feel. I'm sorry. He killed a baby.
But what I am saying, Tammy, is this. If our society was structured as Japanese society, we said, you know what, at the age of 75, you could run over 15 babies and you get to walk around. If that's the law, that's the law too, see? But in America, our law states manslaughter, jail time. And all of a sudden, people are waffling and calling him a victim? Come on.
That's my feeling on it. I'm sorry. He may be elderly, but you know what? My grandmother was elderly too. And when she knew she couldn't drive anymore, she stopped driving. She did not want to hurt anybody. And that's how it should be.
My grandmother was 25. She never got old.
And I don't understand where everything is. You know, you can't do this because they're a certain age. You can't do this because they're a certain age. No. There is responsibility. He is responsible for the death of those.
And now here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
You know, if you want to protect your kids from online predators, and this is what the story is about, this Siobhan Pennington, this young lady in Britain who ran off with a U.S. Marine, if you want to protect them from this, what you do is you open your garage door, you start your car, you get into your car, and then you have your wife take the preloaded computers off the dolly and lay them out onto your driveway and then back over them. Back over all the computers, all the hard drives, and all the monitors until they're all basically garbage. Then you scoop that up in a shovel into a big bag, take it to a ravine or a swamp. Many of you live near swamps. Some of you live near ravines or a storm drain, and throw it in. I think I'm going to do that when I get home tonight. The more I think about it, the better I like it. I'm going to go home tonight, and I'm going to take those computers out of their rooms. I'm going to throw them into a storm drain, and they'll never see them again. Oh, no. You mean they won't do homework? Yeah, kids love homework, don't they? They dig it, man. They're all over homework. So when a kid says to you, I won't be able to do my homework, yeah, baloney, man. Oh, is that right, man? You know, your grades suck. Like, from the beginning of time. Don't tell me you needed to do your homework. I know you guys are responsible parents, but I just want you to know how irresponsible I am and what a utter idiot I am. Honest to God, this is the truth. I don't know the passwords to my kids' computers. They can get into my wife's computer. Maria just password protected her computer. But up till about 3 weeks ago, they could go into... My wife has an office in our house that she works out of because she's so busy, you know... getting her hair done, and she needed to have a place to sit while her nails dry, so she has an office, and the kids, actually she works very hard doing something, so the kids go in there and they use the computer, and they just go right on there when they're bored and they don't want to go to their own computers, and they have their own computers. This is the world I live in. This is the world. I got four kids. Three of them have their own computers. One has a laptop, the little girl, and the two older boys have their Apple computers, which they're constantly bitching about.
I really need to get mine. It's so slow. Can we get DSL?
I want to say this at the risk of sounding like an old-fashioned slob, like some old pruned-up old guy, but you know what? I don't care anymore. Like I said, I'm blowing my brains out when I hit 70. It can't be good for you, man. There was a time when I was a kid, and it wasn't that long ago, man, and I know you're Pelton, you're only 32. It's got to be the same for you. I got on my bike, and I, like, rode places and stuff. I got air. I breathed the air. I would, like, pick through dirt clods and look for worms. Huh? Yeah, you would hike, you know. Especially growing up where I grew up in Arcadia, there was mountains. I go, like, we go up the Chantry Trail and go up to the waterfalls and you know, and I don't know, man. There's another place up there called Wilderness Park. We used to go up there and drink Cokes and throw the cans at rocks or whatever the hell a kid does, you know. And then I'd investigate abandoned houses and steal the copper out of them, take the copper pipes, take them down to some creepy old guy down, you know, downtown Arcadia and sell them to the guy for like a nickel a pipe or whatever the hell he was cheating me out of. Then we'd ride our bike over to this guy, this burger stand, and get a, you know, the burgers were like a quarter. I don't know. And then you go to the three par and rent some clubs and hit the ball, whatever. And if you went into the house, God forbid you spent like 2 hours watching TV. My old man is there like, what, are you still watching the TV? Turn it off. It was like gold watching TV. Just gold. And, man, when they opened the pool up in the summertime, the public pool, dude, I was down there in a flash. Swimming and all that pee. You know, it was great. Now, I'm telling you, my kids, like, staring at a screen for hours and hours and hours. Now, this kid, she's 11 hours she was on his computer. She's meeting some pederast. And guess what? The parents don't know anything about it. And they're saying to the cops today, oh, well, you know, I guess they're the 11th and 12th victims today, huh? The old man was the 10th victim, and the parents in Britain, they're victims number 11 and 12, because they had no idea that little Siobhan was talking to some chicken hawk online out of Germany or wherever the hell he was stationed. And then she's running off, and I go, oh, wonder what happened. Oh, here's what happened. Your kid was on her ass in front of a computer for 11 hours a day, and you had no idea who she was talking to. We had a big shock last summer where my kids go to school, in the middle school. We had a problem between a teacher and a student. And I find out about this, and the first thing I asked, we went to a parent meeting. I said, excuse me, and I realized, you know, I don't look too bright, but can I ask a question?
Yes, Mr. Henry.
Why do teachers and students have exclusive email communication with each other without the teacher informing the parent that that's going on?
Well, that's a good question,
and I don't know if they ever remedied, but I ask that question to this day. If a teacher has email communication with a student, I got no problem with that. But the teacher should be copying me, the parent, on everything, and I mean everything. Everything. Just a copy. You don't have to write a separate note saying, "Dear Mr. Henry" or "Dear Mr. Pelton," your kid would just copy me on it. I don't give a crap. But this, you know, cutesy-poo one-on-one, and, you know, my parents don't understand me. Yeah, I know how it is. You know, I take a drive sometimes by the lake, Billy. Would you like to come with me this weekend? Just have your parents drop you off at the stop-and-go, and I'll pick you up. And the next thing you know, you got yourself a sex crime. And, you know, if I ask the question, if I say to my wife or I say to my kids, what the hell are you doing? What are you talking about, man? I'm online. I'm online, man. I'm IMing my friends. It's what we do now, Dad. It's what we do now. You just don't get it. I can dig it. It's what you do now. I dig it. I just don't see. You can't. You got to tell me how this is like something really constructive. Show me how this is constructive. Please tell me. I mean, I understand IMing is like, you know, the old days we were hanging on the telephone forever and ever. But now you guys got computers, but it's the same thing as like hanging on a phone and staring at a game. It's like watching TV all the time. Isn't there something in the going outside and breathing the freaking air? And on top of that, I got four kids that hate sunshine. I mean, they're such moles, man. My third youngest son is, I hate summer. I mean, I like it because there's no school, but I don't like the sun. What are you, a freak? Yeah, you don't like the sun and you don't like this, like swimming? I got a freak for a son. I don't understand it at all. By the way, when I get off the air tonight, I'm going home. I have to reconstruct my Madden 2003 league. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. I'm Phil Hendry. My kid's a vampire. We're accepting phone calls, I think, for the next 45 minutes. Phil?
Yeah, hi, Phil.
How are you?
I'm good. I saw an episode of King of the Hill one night that you were on, and I was just wondering how much character development did they allow you? I guess you were the football coach, the retired football coach.
Coach Sauer,
tablets.
Yeah, Coach
Sauer.
How much
do they allow you to actually develop those characters?
Everything. They allow me everything. Anything that I bring to the table.
That's great.
You know, when you're doing one a week, and it's just nonstop when you're doing animation because they're just writing that it's always in production. And the actors get a lot of freedom unless you're one of the main characters like Bobby, Hank,
right.
You know, Boomhauer, all those guys. Those are set characters, and you have to do the same voice. But when they said to me, "We'd like you to play this football coach," that's Hank's football coach. I played with a bunch of voices, and I brought him in, and they said, "Oh, we like that one. We like that one," and that's where it's at. But King of the Hill is. I know people are interested in knowing the behind-the-scenes stuff about my life. They're the best people to work for. They have the funniest writers that I've ever seen in my life. And Mike Judge is a tremendous guy. He's a very low-key guy, but just a great guy. It's not a high-pressure situation. They're just all fun people.
That's
and they're
great.
Very friendly and very nice people. Stephen Root and Johnny Hardwick and Toby Huss and... Kathy and Jimmy, they're just all really sweet people.
Right, you're lucky, man. You do a really great job, Phil, I really appreciate the work that you do and everybody on your staff. I think you're an outstanding entertainer and easily the best show on radio.
Thank you, and I accept this Emmy on behalf. Okay, thanks a lot, man.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Yeah, I just gave my Emmy speech.
Just really great people, and I don't know, Kathy and Jimmy and Toby Huss.
Nobody knows the names behind the voices, do they? And I get to do another one tomorrow. I'm going to go and do a King of the Hill. It's funny crap, man. And guess the big thrill I had this week? The big thrill. Did you see the movie Heat with Robert De Niro and Al Pacino? All right. One of the gang members is this Hispanic dude with lots of tats on his arms who winds up getting the crap beat out of him at the end of the movie, and De Niro comes to him and says, "Who did this to you?" And he says, "Please shoot me." You remember the guy? That's Danny Trejo. And I got to work with him. He's in an episode of King of the Hill. I was sitting next to him yesterday. That was the big thrill for me. And I asked him, and he said, I said, "Were you in that movie?" He says, I don't remember. No, he said he was, and it was a lot of fun, and De Niro called him, and he said, I actually had Robert De Niro's voice on my answering machine, and I left it there for months, and then I realized he wanted me to call him back. So I had De Niro's name and his voice on my machine, but I didn't call him back for like 8 months. I said, yeah. He was also a vampire in Dusk Till Dawn, yeah. All right, 1-800-whatever, but my kid was a vampire in Dusk Till Dawn. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, she gave the number. I was actually sitting here looking at IMDb at the names on King of the Hill, if I forgot anybody. One notable person that I didn't mention, Pamela Segal, who plays the voice of Bobby. And she's a great person and a little tiny gal who was pregnant recently and had a baby, and I thought that you can't push a baby out of that body. How are you going to get pregnant? You're too small. And she does the voice of Bobby. It's a chick, okay? Hope I didn't blow it for any of you. And let's see, who else? Brittany Murphy. You know the one that's in all those hot movies now? Yeah, I've seen her around there a couple times, but she didn't say hi to me or anything because I'm just the creep that does additional voices. But it's fun. All right, 1-800. It's really a lot of fun. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Matt. Hello, Matt.
Hey, hello. It's good talking to you. I had a comment about earlier about this crazy, that lawyer that was on there. He was just full of crap. I don't know what he was talking about.
That was me.
Huh?
That was me.
That was you?
Yeah.
All right, I didn't catch that. I turned it off. I don't guess I caught that.
He turned it off. Okay. See, that's how compelling that was, Janice. That was me doing the voice of that lawyer.
Man, I was like, what? I got a second comment about, you know, these kids.
Enough of that comment. You're going to move on to another comment now?
Yeah.
What were you going to say about that guy?
He's crazy a-hole.
Yeah, dude. Well, that was me.
I didn't know. Anyway, about these kids on the computers and stuff, like, I'm 17 myself, and everybody I know is just freaking on the computer 24/7.
Yeah, but I mean, ain't there any kids that like go out and
play basketball, go swimming?
Hell yeah.
And I'm like, what? You know, talking on the computer, what the hell? You're gonna go blind when you're 15?
Well, there's got to be a groups of kids that actually go out and like have a life. You know what I'm saying? It just happens to be that my kids don't have no life. You know, they just sit there on their can, IMing and playing Myth and playing. You know, now the latest one is, well, Halo, online Halo.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, my son, my second oldest son, is like Mr. Computer. The guy's just all, I can't even describe it, you know. He's a great guy, but Alex is, you know, you're going to lose your mind, Alex, if you're listening. You're sick. You're twisted, dude. It's over for him. Anyway, hey, Matt, thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I listen to your show all the time, man.
Well, you didn't know that was me making up them voices?
No, I don't know. I guess I went in my room for a little bit, and I don't know.
You idiot. Listen, I got to get my kids' passwords now to find out if they're IMing you. All right, anyway, Matt, thank you, pal.
Yeah.
Yeah, bye. Holy God. I've often said it. Anybody that listens to this show for more than a week and doesn't know what's going on, man, I'd rather you not call. I'd just rather I not... Now, you're okay, Matt. You sound like a fine young guy. 1-800-449-8686. John, hi.
Hey, Phil, how you doing, man?
Fine.
It's an honor to talk to you. I listened to you from when you were down in Miami. I got like two observations and a question. I checked you out on IMDb. You come up with AUSA. That's like, I've heard you talking about, you've been working on a TV show. Is that the one?
No. Yeah, that was a show that I worked on. But the pilot that I worked on was not that. No, you ain't going to see my pilot on there because it didn't make it to the air.
Rob, what's your pilot? Was it like the Phil Hendry show in like animation form?
Yeah, no. No, it was, my pilot was supposed to be about Bobby Dooley's Western Estates kind of community.
Oh, with real actors.
With real actors, and then the character I played, I was going to be the head of security for this community and all the weirdos that I would meet, et cetera,
right,
et cetera. But it's a concept that, frankly, it wasn't a concept for NBC. You know, may NBC burn in hell. No, I don't care. It's fine. They know what they're doing over there. It's fine. It's just, you know, you never, these things, man, it's very rare if you get something on the air. It's just business.
Yeah,
you know?
It's true.
Yeah.
I have to go through dozens and dozens a week.
All kinds of
I thought an awesome concept for a TV show would be your show. That's the only way you could bring characters you do to life is animation. And just, you know, them on the phone talking to you, and then when they're explaining something that happened, sort of like showing it and animation.
You know, John,
I thought would...
Do you know how valuable you'd be out in this town right now? I'm seriously, honestly, because that's the best idea that anybody has ever had to animate my show, and you and like one other guy have had that idea.
Dude, I swear that
yeah.
is that.
And the whole town of Los Angeles, you know, this town where they called me up and they said, "What can we do with your show?" And not a one of these guys, other than like maybe two, ever thinks of animation. It's all this other baloney.
Well, the wrong people are doing it.
I think you need to produce.
An observation I've made. You are a borderline genius with your voices. But I've noticed you will do imitations of celebrities, like, too well. And I've noticed that when you, like, imitate somebody, you don't even try to do their voice anymore. It's always, you know, the same guy, you know, close
yeah,
to
well,
the
phone. Who do I imitate well?
Well, gee, when you did Brian Cox, I mean, you've done Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
well, you
okay,
mean when I... But Brian Cox...
You don't want to go there.
No, that's just my standard black guy voice. You know, I talk like this. You know, that's all I do. You know, Brian Cox, Shaquille...
First time I fell for your show in Miami was when you were doing the, from Star Trek, The Next Generation, Worf.
Yeah, and the makeup stuck to his head. Right,
Stuck to his head, and the lady had a horrible breath.
All right, brother. Thank you for calling us, John.
Thank you very much.
Okay, man. Bye-bye. Yeah, Worf was suing Paramount because he couldn't get the Klingon makeup off, and he had to drop his kids off at school, and he was getting, you know, laughed at. And we pretended like it was Michael Dorf on the air. All right, I just wanted to mention, well, we're going to take a break here, but I had an interesting story to tell you that you may be interested to know. You know that you can't bring cans and bottles into ballparks. Do you know why? You may throw them, but do you know what incident started it? Well, I will tell you when we come back. And the reason why it's relevant is the Eagles, the Philadelphia Eagles, have a brand new football stadium, and you won't be allowed to bring anything in there. Nothing. Nothing. Not a cracker, not a grape, not a soft prune, not prune juice, nothing. We'll tell you all about how how basically professional football teams and the stadiums that they use hold a gun to your head and rob you of every nickel you have every time you walk into a National Football League stadium on a weekend. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We had a carpenter on our show the other day, Austin Amarca of Lancaster, California, who said that while he does his carpentry work, he sees sometimes offending items, marital aids, pornography, in the home that he's doing this cabinet work in, and that he will take it out of the home because he shouldn't have to look at it. Here's the response he got about that.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
So I'm a retired union carpenter myself, and I've had over 26 years experience in this, and I've had to deal a lot of the similar work that this gentleman is talking about. And, you know, if you're doing cabinet work, which is very accurate and precise, you need to have your tools laid out in front of you. It's a two-man job to put those cabinets, you know, in their place.
Tell me something I don't know. Tell me something I don't know.
Why aren't you doing that instead of being a more pulled towards the living room table or ending up in a master bedroom where there's no cabinets to be put up? Using the phone.
Yes.
And what right did you have to go in the master bedroom? And the other thing is this. If you see that thing when you go in to bid on that job.
Yes, sir.
Why don't you say, could you please remove any pornographic material or anything offensive to my Christian faith? And I'll be back tomorrow to do the job gladly.
Well, sir, that's a very good idea.
See, that's a good idea. When you're bidding the job, say, well, if you want my work.
But I couldn't afford to lose this job, see, because
correct, and I know that.
The state of California where the economy is very bad.
Correct.
And so you know what I'm saying, right?
Right.
But that sounds reasonable. The problem right now is that I do have quite a bit of this stuff that I've confiscated in my garage, and I don't know whether I should give it back.
Well, you call it confiscated, but you know what? I think if I feel as though if your customers knew that you had removed those items out of their house and they can prove that those were that belongs to them, they can have a policeman go over there and have that stuff given back.
That's
and
right.
Be
in other words, you could be arrested.
Be charged.
Yeah, with a crime.
Well, look, I'm not going to take out an ad in the paper that says if you're missing a Big Boss Man 9-inch
No, you're not going to do that.
Let's get away from that.
Get
in the now and talk about the now and your work procedure. All you have to do is...
I'm thinking about having my kids go in there and, as snooping around as you are,
going into the master bedrooms and finding...
You know what I'm talking about, though, Kevin. You're a former cabinet guy, right?
Well, yes.
All right.
I've done that.
And you're telling me you've never gone into a hamper. Come on.
I have never gone into a hamper. I have never done any of that. That is off limits. My job is to do the construction job.
You get into serious trouble. And not only that, you're going to put a bad name on all the carpenters, all the guys who do cabinet work.
Exactly.
Give them all a bad name.
And you know what's going to happen? You're talking about the economy, Larry. The carpenters, they're going to take a dive in pay raise because of people like you.
Well, you can smell the strawberry douche.
Okay, that's it. I don't want to talk about this anymore. This guy's a freak.
He's a freak. To go into the basement, you know, when he should be in the kitchen, and to go into the master bedroom to use the phone when he's supposed to be in the kitchen putting up, cabinets. It just doesn't make sense, Phil.
Hey, Kevin, I got to go because we're doing a tilt-up, and one of them just dropped down, I think, on one of my men.
Oh,
Jesus.
Gracious.
What, are you kidding me?
Well, it's okay.
It was Cody.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Cody's his little helper. There you go. There's Austin. And he's got to do the cabinet work, but first, big boss man. Hoo-hoo! 1-800-449-8686. Anyway, the Philadelphia Eagles, they got a ballpark. You can't bring crap in there. Can't bring anything in. Can't bring a bottle. Can't bring a piece of fruit. Can't bring anything in. Most people live with this. Most people think that this is fine. Because it's been 25, almost 27 years since, 28 years since the deed occurred, the act occurred that led to all of this. It led to all of this. I bet you didn't know this. And I was there, man. I wasn't at the stadium, but I remember watching the game on TV. I remember seeing what happened. And 28 years later, you can't bring anything into a stadium because of this. Ain't got nothing to do with 9/11 or Al-Qaeda. And when the Philadelphia Eagles, by the way, say that it isn't to enhance revenue, who are you guys kidding? Do you think you have any credibility? You're a National Football League team. Listen, just get out and play the game, okay? When you guys start talking from your office about your team policy and the reason why you want people bringing in, not bringing in anything and just buying it from the stadium is not to enhance revenue. Yeah, okay, man. How far do you want me to lean over and do you want me to oil up too? Anyway, it happened back in 1975. Many people recall the game. It was the game of the first ever Hail Mary pass. But let me tell you what happened in that game, because the Hail Mary game between the Minnesota Vikings and the Dallas Cowboys at Bloomington Stadium, 1975, also was the day that an event took place where you can't bring your crap into the stadium anymore. And what happened on that day is the Cowboys were behind. Staubach, once again, drops back. The great Roger Staubach heaves this pass deep down the far sideline. And out to catch the ball is a guy named Drew Pearson. And out to cover him is a cornerback by the name of Nate Wright. Wright stumbled but got back up. And as he was going to cover the play, most people don't know this, and a lot of people are going to dispute it, but I guarantee it happened. Pearson pushed off a right, caught the ball off of his left hip, because nobody knew what happened. The ball looked like it was going to drop, but Pearson pushed off a right, grabbed the ball on his hip, ran in, touchdown. Now, what you didn't see, and what most people forget, is that Paul Krause, one of the great safeties to ever play in the game, came running over to the line judge, a guy by the name of Terzian, Armin Terzian, and he was ready to tear Terzian a new one because he saw Wright push off. Terzian didn't make the call. And obviously the Minnesota Viking crowd is incensed. They are absolutely incensed. And whizzing out of the crowd comes a whiskey bottle. Hits this poor guy Terzian right in the head. Opens his head up. blood coming down. The crowd's ready to commit homicide. The Dallas Cowboys have just won on a Hail Mary at the end of the game. The Vikings are ready to rip apart any referee they see. The place is a madhouse, and this ref has got blood coming down his kisser. And there it is. There it is. And the next day in the newspaper, it said, whoever that bum was that threw that whiskey bottle, that is unconscionable. To imagine throwing an object like that and hitting a man with it, what we should do is not have people bring whiskey bottles in. And it started. That's when it started, and it never let up. It never ended. It kept going and going, and you couldn't bring this in. Then you couldn't bring that in. And then they stopped selling bottled beer altogether. Now it came in a cup. Then after a while, you couldn't even bring your coolers in. Then after a while, you couldn't bring jack squat in, Jim. And after a while, as we bring ourselves here to the new millennium, 2003, you can't bring anything in. In fact, anything you want to eat or drink, you got to buy from them. And they have the unmitigated gall to stare you in the face and say, but it isn't to enhance revenue. You want to know why that guy got away with throwing that bottle? Because the people around him didn't say anything, man. But if you guys go out to a football game this season, and you see some guy chuck something onto the field, you ought to kick his ass and throw his bloodied carcass out onto the turf. Because those are the guys that make it impossible for us to bring a couple of drinks in ourselves, or to bring in a cooler full of snacks, or whatever the hell it is we want to eat. That slob there. And just like in all things in life, one guy, one retard, or in the case of the Raider fans, a whole bunch of very retarded idiots out at the Coliseum, which is the reason why you can't buy beer, or you know, you can't buy beer after the third quarter. You want to know why? Because of those, quote, Raider fans, end quote. As I've often said, and I've been proven right on countless occasions, there isn't anything dumber. And when I talk about a football fan, I'm talking about someone knowledgeable of the game. There's nothing dumber than an Oakland Raider fan, or when they were in L.A., an L.A. Raider fan. They're just as stupid as the day is long. And because of those guys, we can't have a beer after the third quarter. And because of the guy with the whiskey bottle, we can't bring anything to the stadium. And it just, there it goes, you know, just one guy. And all it takes is just one. And everybody else, you know, no kicks. We don't get any laughs at all. We got to sit there on our thumb. Somebody bitched probably about the cigarette smoke, so you can't light one up. Because it's just, ew. Oh, why don't you butch up for once in your life? Just suck down some of that nicotine smoke. You're not going to get lung cancer. Don't worry about it. It's no fun going to a ball game anymore, man. I'm telling you, it is no fun. You can't get hammered on your own liquor. You can't light up a cigar. You got to eat the food that they sell you, and it's never been any good. There's only one thing that actually passes for good at a ballpark, and that's a hot dog. Because the hot dog, how do you mess that up, right? But are you going to eat a hamburger at a football? Forget it. And the nacho cheese. Oh, man. Now, one time I had the great honor of going to County Stadium, Milwaukee. I got to tell you something. It's a beautiful thing. Sausages, brats, I mean, they do it up. And the fans up there, they tailgate the hell out of those ball games up there. I saw the Packers play. I didn't see the Brewers. Now, I guess County Stadium's ripped down. But that's the whole point, see? You don't know that about the Hail Mary game, do you? You thought it was just about Preston, was it Drew? Yeah, Drew Pearson catching that pass. But it was much, much more than that. It was about a guy throwing a whiskey bottle that now means I can't bring in a can of Coke. I can't bring in a walnut, a cashew, nothing. If they find pistachio seed shells in my pocket, they'll throw me to the ground and beat me like a rented mule. Thought you'd like to know. IR Phil Hendry, and that's the rest of the story. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Okay, let's go to our mailbag now. Phil, without a doubt, Larry Merchant, the boxing analyst on HBO, does nothing but ask the tough question to possibly the biggest athlete criminals on the planet. I love boxing, especially watching him ask the tough questions again and again until he gets the answer. I actually cover my eyes at times thinking one of these thugs is going to crush his skull. He's the best. Paul Ladd. Phil, I think you need to have sex with Johnny Depp so you can get past this thing you have for him. Don. P.S. Tell Johnny hi for me, and remember, practice safe sex. Phil, I think I'd like to step up to the plate and say there's something wrong with you bonding with your daughter by belching. It's disgusting. Please stop belching on the air. Justin. Hey, Phil, here's something from the Tampa Bay Buccaneer website about Dwight Smith, who earlier this year was arrested for showing off his gun while getting into a road rage incident, driving his brand new 2003 Cadillac Escalade. What a swell guy he is, talking to the children of Tampa Bay during a summer camp. What a terrific guy Dwight is. And there's our mailbag for today. And that's actually Chris humming through his nose, so he's... 1-800-449-8686. This is a great picture. Dwight Smith talking to the kids and telling them just how to do it right, you know? Nothing like getting an athlete in front of the kids, huh? By the way, you remember that, what's her name, Rosie, when she had that whole thing on Tom Cruise? You know, she'll keep going. She wants to get him on. This is day whatever it is for, and we'll just keep on going until we get the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to give us a call back. Boy, all the news coming out of you guys, just like probably what comes out of you in the morning, ain't too good and don't smell too good. Dwight Smith? Now, what's this scumbag doing? He gets popped while, what, flashing his gun? And you got him talking to kids? What do they mean by gun? Yeah. Now he's out talking to children. I want to ask a question. Honest to God, I do. National Youth Sports Program campers. Now, I understand they need to talk to athletes. And I don't know who runs the camp, and I'm sure you're well-meaning people. But why don't you get a clue and get some athletes in front of these kids that maybe live their lives in a halfway decent manner? What are you doing inviting some punk that was pulling a gun out on people on a freeway a few months before? What is wrong with you? Is there something? What, do you need to go back to school? Do you need to have the parents become aware and have some of you people get your head screwed on straight? What right do you have to have this punk come and talk to children? If it was my kid, I'd pull him the hell out of there. And if it was my kid and I'd pull him the hell out of there, then I'd go in the air the next day and talk about your camp in not too flattering ways. Dwight Smith of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who maybe he rooms with Michael Pittman, who knows, man. Maybe they clean their guns together, whatever they do. Maybe Michael shows him how to ram a woman's car and Smith shows him how to flash a gun. Big men. Big, tough guys. This guy, Smith, is talking to a national youth sports program. You want to know what's wrong with the world? People talk about values. They talk about we got our values all screwed up. Everybody is always banging on that one. You know, our values are screwed up. Our values. It's not our values. It's just imagination, man. That's all. Just use a little imagination. If you want an athlete to talk to your kids, get an athlete that can keep out of jail. There's a nice way to start. Start with that. Start with an athlete that maybe doesn't pull a gun out every time somebody looks at him cross-eyed. Start with a guy that maybe has his temper under control. Maybe a guy that isn't smoking. Like, who's the latest now? This Anderson with the Panthers? You know what? I got nothing. I got no problem with that. Honest to God, the guy smoked. He violated the NFL substance abuse policy. I think it's a hypocritical policy anyway. Of all the things that an athlete can do, I got no problem with him smoking weed. As long as he stays the hell out of my kid's school. Go play your football, smoke your dope, I don't care. Who knows? Maybe the guy's self-medicating. Maybe he's depressed. But you got a guy like this, he's talking to children. Use some imagination. Go beyond the predictable. Don't go to the local professional football team and ask them if there's anybody on their roster that isn't in jail currently, and whoever it is, could we please have them to talk to kids so the guy can stand there and feel like a big shot for 5 minutes, talking to kids and tell them how to stay out of trouble? Half of the kids that this guy Smith was talking to probably ought to tell him how to stay out of trouble. I bet you they know more about living a clean life than that clown ever will. Do I know Dwight Smith? No, I don't. Is he a nice guy? Probably he is. But to my way of thinking, guy pulling a gun out, flashing on a freeway, then he's talking to kids, he's some kind of entitled guy. This stuff's got to end, man. All this entitlement ends. It all ends. Everybody's equal now. Everybody is up for grabs. Everybody is swimming in the same water. You play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, good for you. Go out and play some football. When you're out on my highways and my byways and talking to my kids, you better keep your nose and your rear end clean. Or I'm going to be upset. So that's another guy I want to talk to now. Am I being unfair? Is there going to be some more people rushing to defend the athletes? Because after all, they catch balls real good. Yeah, I'll bet you they catch balls. I bet you they take a few off the chin. Okay, Tampa Bay, you'll be getting an email from me tomorrow about Dwight Smith and this punk with a gun talking to kids in Tampa Bay. Oh, Jesus. Things are only getting worse down there, huh? Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.